I'm so thankful for the message this morning because it ties in so well with my story. And you'll have to forgive me because I'm not used to being up here. So I wrote it all out and I may be reading. So, but I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I hope I won't cry. I entitled it My Story. Because every believer has a story to tell, their testimony. And no two stories are the same, but there is one thing that holds true to everyone, and that is redemption. The circumstances leading up to redemption and the lives we live afterward vary. But there is the same fascinating miracle in every story, and that is of God, who has given us a love that required the ultimate sacrifice, the blood of his beloved Son. Now, let me take my breath here. My story was not a tale of a broken past with hardships and sufferings. I didn't suffer loss and pain. I lived a rather normal and happy childhood. My parents never divorced or argued terribly. My sister was cool at times, but not unlike any other sibling. We were a Catholic family. We attended church at Christmas and Easter, and then a few times during Lent. I was taught at home, in school, and at church that good people didn't go to hell. If you were that size of a baby and led a decent life, then you had nothing to worry about. Sin was not the issue, and I know it wasn't the focus. I came to believe that the Bible was God's word, but only the priest knew what to do with it, and we never had one at home. So I hadn't read the Bible before. I believed in Jesus as God's Son, but I had no idea of what the cross was all about. Up until the night I got saved, I don't ever recall giving a serious thought about what would happen to me after death. I think that I did fulfill my parents' expectations as a good child and teenager. I rarely talked back, I didn't smoke, I wasn't a partier, I didn't stay out late, I never dropped out of school or even failed a grade. I wasn't a drinker or a curser, I didn't have premarital sex. I was ignorant of a need that was the most important I have ever had, until a friend told me of that need. He told me that sin, no matter how great or small, was the punishment of death and hell forever, and that without a savior, I was not going to get to heaven. She said it was all written in the Bible, and you know what my first thought was? Why didn't the priest tell me that? She then told me how to get saved, and like a child, I believed and we prayed at 4 o'clock in the morning at that birthday sleepover when I was 17 years old. I thank God for the Ritchie family because they took me to the meetings and taught me about baptism and headship and worship meetings. They discipled me until I was married and moved away. And they are still a very big part of my life through prayer. You see, I told you that I didn't have a past of pain and suffering. That all came after my salvation. The Lord was preparing me for what was to come. It was a hard thing to accept when my first son was diagnosed as hearing impaired and fitted with 2 hearing aids, so I have a hearing impairment myself. We got him enrolled in a great oral deaf school, and now he's in a normal school with kids his own age, and he's doing along with only some difficulties. My concern over my second son, Andrew, was harder. And as I sat in the neurologist's office, my suspicions were being confirmed. The doctor was telling me that my second son, a priest, was diagnosed as autistic. It's though that I wasn't registering the reality of that diagnosis because the doctor took my hand and he looked me right in the eyes and he said, "This is going to be hard." And I will never forget those words. Autism is a neurological disorder in which children cannot connect socially with those around them. Excuse me. They oftentimes don't talk until age 5 or 6. Andy's 6 and he's still not talking, but And they can call us mom and daddy.
I'm happy that he's like, right?
Sometimes they'll talk later, and in other cases they won't talk at all. They'll often self-stimulate themselves with intense repetitive fixated behaviors called stimming, like hand flapping, and my youngest son just like this key thing. They have no concept of danger or boundaries and would run in front of a car if not restrained. Other common characteristics are very poor sleep habits, fecal smearing, and tantrum fits when there is a change in the smallest details of routine or environment. Oftentimes there seems to be no explanation at all for the tantrum fits. Andrew was diagnosed on the most severe end of the autism spectrum. Then a year later, we were faced with the grim reality that Ethan, our youngest, was behaving similarly to Andrew. And we couldn't deny it any longer. Ethan was autistic too. So all three of my sons are special needs children. And I'm not going to stand up here and say that I accepted things happily and thank God for the state we're in, because I was not happy. And although I hold that is that God was in control, and I believe that He would get us through, I had my doubts of despair. I questioned God when I was up for 6 hours each night with boys and cleaning up smears. I was like, where are you, God? It was more than just hard. It became unbelievably overwhelming at times, and it still is. I questioned God, but I knew He was there for me. One difficult night, I cried over the lack of sleep and inconsolable crying from my usually happy, two-headed boy. After getting a couple of hours of sleep, I awoke in the morning to find the choice the meals of the day. It was set out for my very kind and understanding husband. And what the verse said, we can only endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The last night I thought of. In my questioning, I have learned that it is through fire that gold is refined. And I am being refined. I have learned now not to ask, where are you, God? But to ask, how can I use this to glorify you? I've learned to rely on His strength after those sleepless nights when faced with a day of therapy appointments. And it is incredible, that strength. It's like I've been on a week's vacation and I'm ready to go. And I've had 2 hours of sleep. And it's amazing. And it's a real blessing for me to experience that. Because you guys never know, like some of you may not know that. See that. He's always come through, and I have learned to see that these boys, in their own ways, may become like Andrew the disciple. He named their son after Andrew the disciple. And he may bring people to the Lord in his own special way. I have no idea what his capacity will be when he gets older. It's just a blank slate. But he can still bring people to the Lord in his own way. And I have learned that the Lord has entrusted these boys to our care for a while. And I believe that He created them for us, and us for them. When I think of my trouble, I think on the sufferings of Christ, and know that He is no stranger to sleepless nights and troubled children. As unaware as I was of what was to come after my salvation, I know that the Lord was fully aware of the cross during His time here on earth. He knew the agony He was to suffer, and He was to do it alone without the Father. He was to bear the wrath of God that we deserve. And He hung on there, on the cross there, in love and obedience. Now there's a verse that I got here from 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, as we see, you have been grieved by various trials, but the genuineness of your faith is much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire and may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I also have from the March 11th choice meeting of this year, and I know all that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, to be conformed to the image of his Son. And that's from Romans 8. Shattered by storms, twisted by pain, broken by sorrow, numbed by grief, many a perplexed child of God has cried into what seems an unresponsive sky. What good can come from this? Conformed in the image of his Son. The flame shall not hurt you, my only design, your dross to consume, and your gold to refine. And so I was just saying, everybody's going to have something, and it's true. Everybody has something. I'm not the only one who is suffering. There's other people that have sufferings, and you will too, like she said. But there is a scripture here that I have, because you always wonder what the will of God is for us. That will tell you definitely what God's will for you through all this is. And it's found in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks.
Is find the person who put my name down and I'm going to kill it. I like to be the star, but I like to choose. I want to take you back 6 years ago. 6 years ago, we were doing the retreat. And I remember being compelled to say, oh no, we want Jeremiah 29:11. I just remember being very insistent. And I said, you know, and there were other verses that just brought up the idea of being refined. And what was on my heart was to be concerned, a concern for all of you, that you would be always looking to what God wanted in your life. Little did I know what was going to be happening in my own life. But I just think it's interesting. It was brought back again and again. It's Judy's verse. And yet I'd like to take it a step further, where from 12, 13, and 14, it says, then you will call upon me, you will come to me, you will pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me, you will find me, when you search with me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, and I will restore your fortunes. You know, and so I guess that's what my desire is, not only for me, but for all of us, that we can be restored to the Lord. I lived a very simple life. I remember being rejected by the girls at school. I was always that lonely little girl who was wanting to be part of something. And I look back now and I realize it was the Lord protecting me, keeping me separate, so that I wouldn't learn to like other things. I came to camp and I just fell in love with camp. Little did I know that I was coming back. My sisters, I have two older sisters, and they originally came to camp, number 11, and they were saved there. And then I come to find out years later it was my dad who had been brought up by a rebellious father, rebellious against God. But yet he knew, because of his grandfather, what he should be doing as a father. And so he sent us to the assembly. And it's weird because when I was 15, I went back to Berkshire Chapel. I kept having all these memory flashbacks. I've been here before, but I couldn't. Well, finally, I come to discover that I'd been going there from when I was born till I was 5. And so I remember apparently making noise because I remember a face turning around and frowning at me. And I remember my great uncle, and everybody called him Uncle George. But inside I would say, he's really my uncle. You know, so those are two memories I had of Berkshire. I couldn't understand why I didn't fit them in. But I went to Berkshire because I wanted to work at camp. Uncle Bill told me, if you want to work at camp, you got to attend an assembly. And I said, okay, where's the closest one? And I got on two buses and went. And to me, I'm amazed by that because apparently at 15 I really wanted to go. And that was in 65. And in 65 I was adopted by David and Myra McCulloch. And I was taken home every Sunday and showed a proper house. I would never ever give up that time that David and Myra nourished me. I was told to take a nap on the couch because that's what they did. You know, and it's just my way you may think I'm a neat person. You tell me I have to do something and I will do it. And because I took a nap. And then as I got older, eventually when they got rid of the boys, I got to share a room with Rona. But that was what it did. It taught me how to raise the house, how to raise a family, and that was the biggest dream of my heart, was to have a family. And I went to Emmaus, again Uncle Bill. I have to blame everything on Uncle Bill. But I think Uncle Bill knew the rebellion in my heart, and he sent me to a safe place. He sent me to a place where the Lord gave me a teacher by the name of Richard St. Marie. And he said, Janet, God gave you a family, and you are to accept that. That was very hard for me, because at that time I knew what kind of family I wanted, and it wasn't my family. My parents, again like Judy, is unfashionable. My parents were divorced. And one reason we left the assembly is because my mother was not accepted. And for a while, I had anger in my heart toward the assembly in general. And that, how could you do this? Do you understand how it affected my life? I had to leave. What would my life been like if I stayed? All those questions in my heart. And then as I look back and I realize, no, it was what God wanted for me. So that I would come back and I would choose. Because he knew for me to choose was the greatest thing. So he led me in fellowship with, again, I had to choose, so I stopped attending, before I went to Berkshire, I had gone to Blaisdell. I was saved when I was 9, I'll have to backtrack a little, and Blaisdell followed up on me. They'd come into South Buffalo and pick me up and take me to Sunday school. Well, I had a wonderful time at Blaisdell. I mean, it's my home. Gail, Gladys, and I, and Shirley Mandel, would sit in the closet in the front of the chapel. And it was a closet. Everything was hanging up on it, and we had shelves. And they meant it to be a room as well because there were shelves there. Benches. And we'd sit on the bench, and Mrs. Palmer would sit there. And that was a wonderful time in my life. But then I got tired of it. I didn't like being picked up. I didn't want to be picked up. It's separated me. And but God has a great sense of humor. So he allows me to become involved with the Buffalo Christian Center. And by the time I was in my senior year, I was at the center on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, and Saturdays. You know, again, God kept me from school. I had one friend in high school. Seriously. She's still my friend. She's a wonderful girl. But she decided she was going to be my friend because I'd come from another high school. I was wearing the long colored gym suit. And she said, oh, well, I'll be your friend because nobody's going to like it that you wear this thing. You know, and and I thought, okay, I'll be your friend. And it just, again, it's God keeping me separate. You know, I used to wonder about, for instance, if I teach people walk down to, I mean, a girl and a boy walk down holding hands, I said, what is it? What is it that makes them like each other so much? It was just something that, I mean, it's not that I didn't like boys, but it literally escaped my understanding as to this friendship. What did it consist of? You know, but God kept me away from all that stuff. I think I had one boy that I fell in love with, but it was like the first person I ever really loved. And here again, it was at camp. And I appreciate that. And I've never worked out or anything because God sent me to Emmaus. He sent me home. I wasn't going to be a missionary. I used to sneak past the Student Missionary Fellowship. I said, no, I'm not going to be a missionary. I'm going home. I'm going to get married. I'm going to go to Berkshire Chapel. I mean, I had no idea who I was going to marry. I honestly didn't. Well, I go home, and I remember once I moved into an apartment. I got it near the chapel, so I could walk to the chapel. I didn't have to be picked up. And the thing about being picked up is that I can't tell you how many people, as they progressed in their life, came back to me and say, Jan, remember when I used to pick you up for Sunday school? Yeah. Because it was embarrassing. You know, but when I realized God was using me then, because he was working his salvation out in them by them saying, oh, I used to go pick up Jan. And so that was very humbling. And I think that's what I've learned through that time, was that we do help each other, and we should help each other. Okay, so where am I?
You're not married.
I'm not married yet. Okay. Anyway, I remember I was 21, and I remember standing in front of my apartment. I said, okay, God, I can't stand. I'm so lonely. I don't want to be alone. It wasn't that I really wanted someone to love me, but I was lonely. And so I never thought about it after that. I told him, you're going to have to send somebody. And he did. And the thing is, he had been there all along. So it was just wonderful. It was a fairy tale romance. My sister-in-law, Carol, invited me over for dinner and said, oh, you know, David's going away to Vietnam, and come on over and have dinner with us. I said, okay. And she says, I'll take you home later. I don't know why I didn't have my car or something. I don't remember. And then she proceeds to announce, oh, I'm too tired. I want to take her home. David, will you? Well, I knew what was going down. He said, okay, you know. And then begrudgingly, he asked me out on a date. And the first date we had, we went to Patton, which I threw the whole movie because every time a bomb went off, you know, but it was, as I came to realize, David loved war movies and things like that. But he went out 7 times and he asked me to marry him. So that was it really was very romantic. And then we worked for nine months, and he came home from Vietnam, and then he went to school and finished up, and then we got married, and we had a lovely home, and I have 4 wonderful children. I still have 4 wonderful children. Now I have 3 wonderful granddaughters, which I'll show pictures of later. But then going back to my very beginning, is here we are at the retreat again, being in charge, and my life is very different. It's very different in many ways. when I was a little girl, I remember meeting my great-grandmother. She was over 90, and I remember going over and seeing her and saying, I'm going to be old like that someday. And I never envisioned not having David with me. But again, even the day of David's death, it was just like someone would write on TV program. I got a phone call from his doctor saying, oh, Mrs. Sauer, I'm really sorry. You know, and then he, you know, and I didn't answer, I just hung up. And then some of my neighbor told me the police came. I said, why'd the police come? You know, I'm thinking the boys did something. Very plausible. And then I just waited. I just waited. And I remember pacing up and down the porch. And then I remember my father-in-law coming in and he's saying, oh, he said, it should have happened to me. It should have been me. And so we plugged on there. And I think something that was said this morning is the idea of doing it right. That was my whole thinking during the time of David's death. I guess I rationed in my mind that everybody has a timeline, just like in history. I think David would like this because he was a history buff. But you know, you've seen them in the book. You know, Rome was built and Rome ended in a timeline with two deaths. You know, and in a sense, our lives are like that. We are just dots. But God is interested in our dots. And my feeling is that we should do the best we can with God's help during this time. When I was at Emmaus, one of the teacher's wives gave me Psalm 16:6 as a verse for my life. Thou wilt make, no, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my hair, no, that's not verse, that's verse 6, verse 11. Thou wilt make known to me the path of life, in thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. And I took that verse home. You know, and the idea of walking and making right decisions, that's what the most important thing is. Not what happens, but making right decisions. Because I believe if as I learned from Meyer and Davis, they made right choices. And I think of my friends, my friend Joanne and her husband Clyde, in their lives. And as my witnesses to me, they have made right choices. And it comes out in their lives automatically. I mean, not that there's... in the sense of the end results are not wealth or fame, but things work out right. Now, sometimes they don't. They didn't work out right, am I? But I still think that there's the value in understanding that there's a right way and a wrong way to choose things. Verse 6, as I mentioned earlier, says, thy lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. And that's what the Lord has taught me in my life, is I think my life is very interesting because of how God has worked in it. God has chosen to work in my life. And I'm just amazed at it. I mean, coincidences don't happen. God is involved in each of our lives. And I'm sure if you sat down and thought about things in your life, yes, people touch your life and they change it. And I think this is our job as Christians, to touch people's lives. All the things that Joyce was talking about, the fruits of the Spirit, we can't possibly attain all of them, but I think there's parts of us that fit that. And we have to work together. I was talking to Janice, and each of you should be up here telling your story, because each of you have a very, very important part in life. Let's see. And it's funny, I wrote this down, is that pray I don't waste my suffering. Suffering is for Christ. My suffering is for Christ. Even in Well, I started to talk about my 50th year. I always knew I was excited about being 50 because I was going to be 50 in 2000. And yet it was the worst year of my life because my life ended. I didn't have a career. I'd never gone to college. And yet God has given me peace about it. I don't like it. And like Janice, I have my doubts. But I've never, and I'm very grateful that I haven't, but I've never railed at God about it. Because who am I to rail at God about this? I'd give anything to have it all back. And maybe that's not right, but that's how I feel about it. But yeah, I know God is protecting me. He's opened so many doors, and when I... And my friend Judy has been so positive in my life in this, where she'll say, Janet, I got a job for you. So to point now, I'm afraid to go and talk to Judy. But she's always got a job for me, you know? But yet, it's what it is that she sees me in a different light than I see me, and I have to learn to listen to people. They're not always right, and it's not always the right thing. Okay, but I think that right now, that is how God is protecting me, and He is leading me and keeping me. Because again, I think that I have a responsibility now to protect what God has given me. Even though what He has given me, He has pared away a bit. Even in my experience with the accident with Thomas, the person that I never saw the face of the person who attended me, but the person, the next face that I saw was a doctor who I had met, who was a Christian. And he was the one whom I told this to, you know, to tell his friends what had happened. And I can't tell you the times when I could not pray. I would get a card, or someone would tell me they were praying for me. And I can't tell you that is what has helped me. Because there was a time, and there's still times I can't read and I can't pray. Because I feel nothing. And this is where, you know, I'm so grateful to all of you. Because you come up and you tell me you've been praying for me, and I think, oh, I haven't been praying for you. Because, just because I guess, if anything, I'm numb. And sometimes I think, well, 4 years, that's a long time. I should be back on my feet and going. But, you know, there's no time. You know, I don't know what that time is. I feel that I've made progress and been productive but the ache that I have is something that I guess I know will go away or will become less acute, because I remember when my mother died. And when your mother dies, it's hard. But I know I don't miss my mother as much as I did. I always will miss my mother, you know. But I guess the thing on my heart is, or even Matthew the other day, he said, Mom, how are you? How you doing? Your strength up? What percentage, you know? And I said, I'm getting there, man. He said, no, you're doing real well. I just want to tell you that you've helped me. With you, watching you, you've helped me. Because Matthew is the one who has been suffering the most. Matthew hasn't reconciled with God. I told him the other day that he certainly has gotten away with a lot of not being yelled at. Because his father and his brother, see, both of them. It's just not his dad. So pray for Maddie. He really needs the Lord. Just like, and I speak to my friends, their sons too. You know, we have children who need the Lord. And we have to not focus on anyone, but just when it comes up to you and you feel it, you know, understand that your prayers do work wonders. You know? But God has been very faithful to me, and you all have been so kind to me, and I really appreciate it. I have a there's a new sisterhood of widows. You know, so God didn't even leave look alone in that. Each one of us would lost our husbands. And I remember when Cheryl's husband died. It was a big event. One of us had died. You know, I think each generation feels that. And yet, Lord did not leave us alone. He gave us each other. And I'm grateful for all the ladies. You know, because... So I guess I remember people would come up to me and tell me they were sorry, and I'd say, well, go home and hug your husband. You know, value what you have. And I think sometimes that's what we need to be reminded, that no matter how terrible our lives are, there's so much good in it. And we need just to take time to value it. So thank you very much. When I heard what the topic was going to be, I just prayed, you know, and I said, Lord, if you give me a song that I could sing that would go along with this. And I was down at the barn one night, and I heard I Can Only Imagine. And all the way up to the house, I just started praising the Lord with different hymns that would just come to my mind. And I sat outside on the porch, and I just kept praising, and all of a sudden this song came to me, and I said, what a fragrance, you know, it was just, and then it hit me that this is the song that the Lord wanted me to sing. So I pray that it will bless your heart as much as it has mine. It's called Praise His Name.
And you're meant to be so tall. And you're